here. And, here it is.
Paper money!
Oh, excuse me, Dad. Sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I feel great about doing a show like this at night. You know, it's Friday. I always get a certain Friday euphoria. You know, because, you know, I am a lifelong member of the Thank God It's Friday Club. Lifelong. It's the only club I belong to, actually. Hey, listen, we've been getting a tremendous amount of underground mail asking for the return of H.G. Grubbage. You remember Mr. Grubbage, who used to be on our show? H.G. Grubbage, the eminent, world-renowned, highly respected newsman. Well, actually, he's when you begin to graduate from the newsman category, you become a commentator. And then the next step is pundit. After that, God only knows. As a matter of fact, he's probably the ultimate news pundit. Please, if you will, it is time now for the return of H.G. Grubbage.
Good evening, Americans everywhere! H.G. Grubbage here for Americans everywhere with the real news of the world. And now, Americans everywhere, attention please. It is time for the news of the world with your commentator, H.G. Grubbage. International news. Owners of Copenhagen sex clubs Friday reported a sudden boom in business coinciding with the conference here in Copenhagen of finance ministers and government bankers from 116 nations. A spokesman for the club Venus, which claims to have the most pornographic live show in town, said patronage has been up almost 100% during the week-long meeting that ended Friday. The club charges $16 in admission and membership fees for its hour-long live sex show. The spokesman said the reason he knew conference delegates had visited the club was that several forgot to remove their convention name tags. Let them be anonymous, especially as the names they gave contrasted strongly with the ones written on their membership cards, he said. And that is the international news tonight, and now news from here, there, and everywhere. And now news, in this case, news of the Women's Liberation Movement. A small but determined band of Marshall University co-eds picketed the school's athletic offices yesterday to protest what it called, dared we quote ya, the exploitation of female students by the Marshall coaching staff. The mini storm arose after assistant football coach Red Dawson organized an auxiliary co-ed group called, and we quote ya, the Buffalo Babes. According to the athletic department, the Babes will date prospective MU athletes, show them and their families around campus, and greet visiting teams when they arrive in Huntington, West Virginia. Dawson, a graduate and former football player for Florida State University, said the program has with great success. He says many of the girls enjoy it mentally, and so do the football players. He said the girls serve as hostesses for the athletic teams. The eight demonstrators labeled the entire program, and we quote, yeah, a venture in sexism. Marshall Athletic Director Charles Krauts pointed out to the co-eds that the so-called babes will be, and we quote, yeah, strictly voluntary. And now, other news from here, there, and everywhere on the financial front. A 60-year-old government mechanic in Denver recently received a federal check for more than $27,000 in cash. Mechanic Prentice Sykes used the money to pay off a home mortgage and two loans. He also sent his wife to San Diego, California. Then the government informed Sykes it was all a mistake. He is now paying back the money at $300 per month installments and should be out of the red late in the 1990s. And now from sporting news here, there, and everywhere from Los Angeles, Reuters, Miss Kathleen Guarini, 24, sunning herself on Redondo Beach, southwest of Yale, got a surprise today when a single-engine Luscombe airplane landed on top of her, its back tail wheel skimming right over her stomach. The plane's pilot, Steve Wilkins, had to make the forced landing because of fuel line trouble and told police he thought the stretch of beach was deserted. Miss Guarnieri was admitted to hospital with minor injuries to her stomach and upper legs. Luscombe landed directly at Freeport Landing, right on her, and we quote here, her belly button. And so goes the news, the real news of the world. H.G. Grubbage here. Good evening, Americans.
H.G. Grubbage in the News is presented as a public service by this concerned network. It is sent by satellite to 6 continents, armed forces overseas by recording, tapes, and electric transmission. H.G. Grubbage is broadcast 374 times a week. Mr. Grubbage's own personal commentary does not necessarily represent the views of the station, the management, the network, or as a matter of fact, the human race. Yeah, you kind of liked that, didn't you? Hey, you know, I got to say something about that chick with that Luscombe lining right on her little old belly button there. Now, that is a fantastic story. Now, picture it for a minute. Now, honestly, think about it for a minute. Don't you just sit there and grin silly, you know? Think about it. Here's a chick laying on a beach, you know, Redondo Beach in California. She's laying there flat, getting the sun. And here's this guy. See, he's at, 4,500 feet. Now, a Luscombe, in case you're curious, probably most of you have never heard of a Luscombe. It's a single-engine, high-winged airplane that is no longer built, hasn't been built for some time. It's kind of a collector's item, fact. Those of you that are interested, it's a Luscombe 8E that he performed this little trick with. And he's up there. Oh, no. He just loses power in that little pot boiler up in the front there. That is the sound of wind whistling around the fuselage and over the wings of the little Luscombe. It's a pretty little airplane, by the way. And in case you're curious for even further technical details, it happens to be what we call a tail dragger, which makes it very important in the story. See, a tail dragger is an airplane that is not a tricycle landing. It's got two wheels up in front, you know. And one little itty bitty wheel way in the back. And it lands, it lands tail down. See, it doesn't land level. So it's tail down. This guy's coming in. See, he sees this beach. This is it. You know, the only place he can make it, see. And he comes in. He's starting to flare out, see. He's pulling that, yoke back. And he sees the little red light go on, you know, the stall light and the horn. He's got it made. He's just a little bump when he lands. Oh, I made it. And then way in the back, he hears, "Yew!" And there's a banging on the side of the door there. See, this chick in her bikini, he has dragged her tail wheel. That tail wheel landed. In fact, you know, she got hit by it, remember? The tail wheel went ka-thunk right across her. What a scene. I mean, I don't know what the odds are against a thing like that happening. But, oh, boy. I mean, and you're... Can you imagine? Now that's the kind of story. Now, I don't know how old this lady. Let's say she's 27 years old, you know? Okay? 40 years from now,
I could hear her telling the story, see?
Well, one day I was on the beach, and Ivy told you about the time the airplane landed on me. I was on the beach, and I never...
And somebody said, will you shut up that old nut? Will you get that old senile old doll out of here for Christ?
Yes, I was just laying on the beach there, and the airplane landed right on me. And I had just a...
Oh, come on. Bring it up there. Thank you. That's the worst sounding sound I've ever heard. Hey, have you got that little Thoreauian idyllic thing? Now, all of you, love. It's getting to the point where I love commercials. Because commercials whack you out of the real world, don't they? They sure do. I just love them. I tell you, I really do. I'm serious. You know, these little brief 59-second adventures. You know, there's always guys sailing on old sailing ships and drinking beer. Have you noticed that crowd on TV, you know? There's one crowd that says, yes, you only go around once, so grab all the gusto you can. And there they are, skunked out of their heads on that boat. They're grabbing all the gusto. Let's try this one for size. Thoreau fans. The city. Any city. You've got to get out.
Yeah, yeah, oh, wow, wow.
This land, your land. This lake, your lake. This forest, your forest. Fawn Lake Forest, a private, peaceful family place of water and birch and pine and deer and fishing. Fawn Lake Forest, in Pennsylvania's beautiful Pocono Mountains. Like a breath of fresh air, we've created it the way you'd like to own it, with great care and love of the land. But you'll have to see it for yourself. How to get here? Call us, collect, at 682-700. Fawn Lake Forest.
Gee, that was beautiful. The area code is 717, and it's an open housing community. And let's see, it says here, official statement available on request. Offering statement, excuse me. Filing with New York Department of State is not approval of the merits of the offering. That's an enigmatic remark. But it says here, you know, that listening to that beautiful spot, you know, this great idyllic world there, it reminds me, this is a very brief little story. Just remind me, just a little ticked off little thing. One time I was sitting in the middle of a lake, and there was beautiful fishing scene, and all around me you could see this soft, rippling water. The shepherd is sitting there in the middle of the lake, with lily pads and all. And all of a sudden, how many of you are, of course, I'm sure that all of you are familiar with the strange phenomena of how fast and how loud and how powerfully sound travels over water. Well, I hear... Idyllic, see? Here's this beautiful cabin sitting up here in the woods. Well, I want to tell you, me and about 24 other fishermen floating quietly over this beautiful lake were privy to a scene by sound, you know, out in the sylvan wilderness that would have made anything that has ever been done by Alb look like fun and games. They were really going at it. And in this beautiful wilderness, and the birds floating around. And I'm casting away there. And one guy's rolling past me, see? And he's got his head sort of down. And he just looks over at me, and he nods like this, see? And I nod back. And we both go in opposite directions. I'm like, oh, my God, you can't get away from it anywhere. He just rows away. And a big blue heron is sitting over there picking his teeth. He's heard this before. But, you can't escape. Oh, you want me to make a little station break? Well, now, I don't think they believe that they're watching the Huntley Brinkley show. Do I have to tell them?
I mean, I'll admit that the Bill Dockery is getting more and more prevalent out there, but I don't have to tell them that this is Barry Gray. I do not have to tell them that our guest tonight is Jerry Kretschmer. We're going to discuss the environment tonight. We're going to deal with what the pigeons do on Wednesday afternoon en masse. And what they... No, I don't have to tell them that. And that this is... Do they really want to know what station? They all know they're listening to WLW in Cincinnati. Oh, man, our bells are ringing all over the world. This is WOR, friends, in New York. So if you're going to get mad at the real one, me. It's all right. Hey, you know, speaking of getting mad, I noticed in the paper here, boy, writers must flip. I noticed Stanley Kubrick is about to make, what is he about to make? What is the name of the book he's about to make? All right, yes, my dear. He's about to make The Clockworm Orange. That'll take care of Anthony Burgess. Yeah. That's like, you know, a guy's making a Lobe pick. You know, that famous book by Fred Melville. But nevertheless, I read this. Oh, no, I could just see poor old Burgess. The Clockworm Orange. Well, now, you know, I also heard that somebody, and this makes me feel real warm deep down inside my gut. I'll tell you, I'm really excited about this. Did you hear that they're about to make a motion picture of Silas Marner? Oh, that is going to be groovy. Didn't you read about that? Yeah. Can't you hear the commercials now? Give me a little echo chamber.
And now, appearing at Cinema 42, once in a generation, man looks right into the heart of evil. Yes, greed, lust, sex. Silas Marner, played by Richard Burton, and Margaret. See it. This is an X-rated picture. Educational only. Silas Marner and Adventures in Denmark. Yeah, cha 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 cha. Cha 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 cha. Hi cha 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 cha. Yeah, 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 yeah. Cha 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 cha. Cha 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 cha. Da pa 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 pa. Pa 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 pa.
Oh, what a rotten clown! Did you ever hear worse singing in your life? Ooh, boo, boo. Gee. Oh, six. If anyone would like me to do an encore, I'd love it. Would someone please? Anyone out there for an encore? Anyone ready? If you really want to make your old man mad, call up me for an encore and then turn it all the way up, you know, and feed it downstairs into the stereo with 2,000 watts of Macintosh power. Well, I'm an old Silas Marner fan because I'm seriously, I've been bitten by the Silas Marner syndrome. And how many of you, you know, your favorite vice is greed? Greed. Let's just for one brief moment here bow our heads and give thanks that man was created with the ability to enjoy greed. That's one of the pleasures about being mankind. I don't think, for example, that the camel enjoys greed like we do. No. Most people think in terms, you know, the only really great sin and, you know, the groovy seven deadly vice is sex. It's all, you know, no. Greed, oh, no. The guys that are in the know have been investigating greed for some time as a real kick. Yeah, well, I've seen a couple of these Denmark sex education thing. Yeah, very educational. It says more about the Danes than it says anything about sex, but nevertheless, I've seen the, you know, the very educational, the rise and fall of the decline. Remember, people used to think of Denmark as this little place where they had gingerbread houses and people made cuckoo clocks and everything was kind of groovy, you know, there. Well, nevertheless, I've seen a couple of these, you know. And I find, I hate to say this, But, I just don't find sex a spectator sport. In fact, I find it infinitely boring watching it on the screen. You know, it's true. This is a problem that we've all had to face. Now, greed itself is also not a spectator sport. No one likes to see greed. No. But there ain't a man, Jack, listening who doesn't enjoy the feeling of greed. Nah, I want it all. Ah. Oh. And you know, the first time that the lust of greed really hit me, it's not always money, you know. No, think about this for a minute. Greed does not necessarily mean only money. For example, there are certain guys who want to have all the women to themselves. All of them. That's a kind of greed. That's a different type of greed, but it's greed. There are guys that want to have, they like to find a special place, like an island. They don't want anybody else to be there. See, they want it. That's me, only me. My friend. Now, greed is often disguised as something other than greed. In fact, greed is rarely referred to as greed by those who are truly greedy. It is often referred to as protecting the environment for the posterity and my friends. Indeed. You know, your friends, you and your three other friends who've got enough dough to get into this place by helicopter, and you want to keep all the dildocs out. That's it, right? Already, you wind up, you know... Because you always have to couch your greed in beautiful terms. You can't say, I don't want them bums to come out here in the mountains. Me and my friend Charlie, we got a hunting lodge out there, you know. We go there by a helicopter, and we don't want none of these. All them guys from Jersey with the campers coming out, get out. No, you can't be honest. The way it is done, you say, well, my friend Charles W. Murgantroyd and myself, we have organized this Save the Beautiful Forest Committee. Ad hoc, of course. And we are organizing people who are interested in saving the beautiful forest to keep it for the posterity. Now, it isn't that we don't want the people, the ordinary man, to get in there, but we realize that the minute you allow blah, 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 blah in hoc agricula conk, that's another kind of greed. So, you know, greed, don't interpret that to shepherds for despoiling the forest. Not at all. But I am afraid the world belongs to all of us. And that's a hard, bitter pill to swallow. The rotten, bitter pill to swallow. But nevertheless, I'm going to tell you a story tonight. Would you please give me a little mood music? No, Nick, if you will up there, baby. Look up there. Get my mood musics ready up there. And while you're doing that, I'll sit here quietly and chew on Phenomen. Let's see. Oh, did I ever tell you about the time? Oh, yes. Yeah, a little mood music of that. So let me think here now. No, I think, Nick... Yeah, give me cut one. Give me the informer on that. Yeah, cut one side, too. That's a sound of greed marching like an avenging army of the devil through man's soil. Thum, thum, thum. You know, speaking of Phenomen, I was, you know. You didn't hear me. That's because you're sitting in there. You got to get the potatoes out of your ears. But did I ever tell you about the time my kid brother was coming home from school and they were giving out samples? Have you ever been around places where they're giving out samples, like a sample of aspirins and stuff? Well, they gave him a sample that had six little lozenges of Phenomen in it. Well, you know, he was about eight, and to him, this groovy, getting this free chewing gum. Now, I do not have to tell you the action that ensued, do I? Right. All right, we move on. And now, a story of unmitigated lust and greed, man's soul in torment. Big, Nick, big, greed comes on strong. Yes, of all the sins of man, the vices that have been visited upon his psyche, the most heinous of is greed. Who among us can forget Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Past? Who among us can forget his partner rattling his chains, Ebenezer Barley, rattling his chains as he comes down that ancient house?
Repent!
clank, clank, clank.
Repent! The door is...
Clank, clank, clank.
I am your partner, Ebenezer Barley, and I say repent.
Yes, who can forget that? Who can forget? I'm sorry, no, his name was... That wasn't Scrooge. Stooge. Wasn't it Stooge? Yeah, that's right. Abner Stooge was his name. Yeah. That's right, Stooge. And, he had this clerk, Bob Thatcher. And, I remember it very well. That was a fantastic story. It affected me deeply. He had this daughter, Becky Thatcher. And, he had a little kid that was crippled. I think his name was Little Jim. And I remember the whole story, and they had this turkey for Christmas. I don't want to go into that, but it was a sickening scene because it affected me deeply as a kid, you know? And I up to that point, see, I had been, you know, reading stuff like, Mrs. Boggs and the Cabbage Patch and you know, the gentle stuff, kind of, you know, nice, easy stuff to take. Mother Goose rhymes, you know, like Little Jack Warner Sat in the Corner and all those things. And up to this point, I had never run into true human, degradation, I suppose you can say. Evil. True, pure, rotten, stinking, crummy evil. And I sat there and I read this scene, and I thought this Stooge was really rotten. What he did to Bob Thatcher, yeah. And little Becky. I remember the scene. You remember the scene where Becky was lost in the cave? I was really got to me. See, as a kid, I was really flipping. I lived in a family that was very open-handed. Oh, yeah, it was nothing at all for my old man to give me maybe 10, 20 cents a year, just hand it out. And without any strings. He never put no strings on it, you know. He always used to say, he says, you give as ye shall receive. And he'd give me 8, 9 cents, and that would be my budget for the year. Well, so I didn't have that problem. But little did I realize, you see, at the time, of course, it later came to pass that I did realize this, I'll have to put it personally, all present company excepted, none of you, of course, I found that I, too, was Abner Stooge. Now, my hang-up was not money. Now, you see, greed is not necessarily a money thing. For example, if you're a stamp collector, every stamp collector secretly has the desire to own all the stamps in the world. He really does, you know. If he could somehow do it, that would be the perfect stamp collection to have them all, you know. greed is often masked under what appears to be a gentle, friendly little hobby, and it's just the way it is. And so at about the age of roughly 14, yes, it was a crucial moment. It was my sophomore. At the age of 14, you know, the word sophomore has a lot of connotations. It's, yes, sophomoric, that's a good word. It's a kind of a, you know, connecting link. It's a plateau. It's not really a plateau. It's a kind of a stairway between one plateau and the next, right? So I'm sort of struggling my way up this staircase, see, this vast, fantastic... Give me a little of that struggling up the staircase. Shepard was beginning to evolve into the klutz that he later became. It was the evolution of a buffoon. Bring it up. Let's put it this way. This little story is called Slob's Progress. You like all those literary allusions, don't you, my literate friends out there?
Yeah, I read a book once.
Get up there. Shepard one time was also infected, having listened to an opera. I love that scene that we, you know, the laugh clown laugh scene. Nick, would you please give me a little more of that laugh clown laugh? You bring it out, that same piece there, same cut. Please, just reset it there. I will need a little echo chamber there for the betterment of the masses. Bring it on there, hit. As we join the Duke, he has just encountered the butler, Desiderio, who has poisoned the maid disguised as the page. And deep down in the dungeon below the castle, Orestes realizes that his long-lost love is dead, and he now sings his famous Kambala Anga Dala Akesu Dala Chesi, which is Ain't Life Get to Be Some Kind of a Rotten Drag. He takes the dirk and plunges it deep into his pancreas.
Oh, my God, it hurts!
And now the curtain falls on this week's Metropolitan Opera, as thousands of screaming, yelling opera fans holler,
"Bravo! Bravo! Bravo!"
Yeah, I love culture. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, it was a nice little opera there for a minute. I don't know. It's getting out of hand here. That was tonight's salute to Barry Farber. Let's see now. Oh, well, of course, for fairness sake, I also include Bella Abzug, too. Let's salute her, too, there. Ching, 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 ching. Well, all right, I'll tell you what my Achilles heel. Every man has got his price, really. Poor old Abner Stooge, his price was plain ordinary gelt, dough, bucks. Right? Obviously, Bob Thatcher's price was that Christmas turkey, right? You notice that he never asked for a raise after that? Give him a turkey. Let him eat turkey is the old slogan around the NAM these days. But that's that wasn't bad at all. Hi, George. Oh, yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I worked in a radio station once where the guy was a scholar, was the manager of our station. And whenever the populace would get, you know, the muttering, there's always a lot of muttering in the announcer's lounge and around the engineer's water cooler. And, you know, they put out salt tablets for the engineers to lick. And, well, you know, you have to do that with, you know, various types of animal life. They love it. And so once in a while when they'd be muttering under the ground there, well, they'd throw us a circus. You know, they'd have a little circus, and the clowns would come out and yell and holler and juggle and stuff. We'd feel good for weeks after that. And so it works pretty good. If you're, you know, give them circuses. What is it? Give them circuses. What's the rest of it? I don't know. Anyway, basically, it's the Ed Sullivan Show is what it all boils down to. But everybody has his price. What is your price, friend? I mean, no, what would you sell everything out for? Don't be so quick to answer that, Nick. Now, come on, you're giving us snap remarks because you're liable to get it, and then you're going to be bugged because you sold out cheap. Now, I'm seriously asking you a question. What would you sell out for? Now, don't call up and say a mess of pottage, because we got a lot of pottage here. As a matter of fact, we got so much pottage around here, you're liable to get pottage coming out of your ears. A mess of pottage. What would you sell off for? Well, I'll tell you what, as a kid, see, I'm about 14, and I'm being, you know, kids have a tendency to be extremely idealistic. And, oh, yes, I was no less an idealist. And not only that, you are tremendously moral. Kids can, you know, can be the most moral. They're unbelievable. They make the Puritans really look like debauchees. You know, the kid is a genuine Puritan. And first of all, he expects his old man to be totally perfect. And if he isn't, the old man is obviously a phonus balonus. Now, he believes that he is perfect too, the kid. And so did I. See, I believe that, and I used to sit around here and I'd get mad, you know. And I always thought about this, you know, Abner Stooge. He really affected me. I'm serious. I read this, read it in freshman English, see. And here I'm deeply involved in it. And I became very bugged about greed. I thought greed was rotten. Really rotten. Rotten. Terrible rotten. And then, on that historic day, I discovered I, too, had my price. You know what my Achilles heel is? That's silly, you know. It's hard to, you know, to admit a thing like this. radio parts. I'd sell out my grandmother for a really good dynamic mic. I'm serious. Some guys will say, you know, yourself a lot of things. And I happened to be, at the age of 14, bit so deeply, I was bitten to the veritable core by the electronic radio pipe bug. Now, to those of you who have never been bitten by that, you'll never understand it, so the story is not for you. So don't assume because it's not for you. It is sheer gibberish. Listen, to any guy who has ever been hooked on electronics as a kid, he knows exactly. I bet guys are falling all over their car, and, you know, guys are yelling, hitting the dash of their Mercury's. Oh, my God, yell me all over to get me an Aki one time. Well, let me tell you what happened. I was about 14, and my buddy Johnny Anderson and Schwartz and Bolas, us four, we began to go in every Saturday to Chicago. We lived on the south side of Chicago. See, we lived way on the far south side. And every Saturday morning, like tomorrow morning, we would be looking all week. Here it comes. Thank you. my price has just been met. Well, what do you want, friend? I have just gotten a beautiful Electro Voice Model 654. Holy smokes. And it's seen some use, I can tell that. This has been through hell. You can see it's been nicked by bullets, bottles, beer has been poured over it. This is a mic that's been there. But nevertheless, here I am, see. I'm 14. And I've got a paper out. Now, of course, you haven't got much room to exercise your greed on a paper route. You know, knocking down maybe a cool $1.75 a week. You know, not including the fact you had to buy all kinds of stuff to keep your bike going and all. You know, expenses and stuff like that. You have to buy an occasional dirty detective story and stuff. So I was actually clearing possibly a buck a week. Well, and of course you'd go out on dates. You'd take chicks down to the Red Rooster and you'd buy cheeseburgers and stuff. So I maybe would have, I'd clear a cool maybe 30, 40 cents a week, which I would put away in my kick. Well, I got bitten by this fantastic bug. I used to read the Allied catalog night and day. I would lie in bed at night with a flashlight, see, and about under the covers, and I would just read the Allied cover. You know what the Allied catalog is? The Lafayette catalog, the Allied catalog, Harrison Radio catalog. And I would start at the beginning, and I would read it back and forth, and I would compare them. I would read a beautiful chapter, let's say, in Harrison Radio on Jack's Plugs and Thermocouple. I'd love it. Then I would pick up the Allied Radio catalog after having this Harrison thing, and I would read a beautiful, stirring chapter on speaker baffles. Oh, just beautiful. And then I would go, you know, I'd love to go back to the incidental accessories department, you know, color-coded jacks, color-coded jacks, color-coded spade jacks, color-coded, ah, yes, here's a magnet. This, incidentally, is a presentation copy of the Allied Radio. This is Newark Electronics Corporation. It's a presentation copy that for the real cuckoos, you can get it bound in Morocco leather, and you can have it embossed with your name and the whole business. And so at that age, me and Schwartz and Johnny Anderson took every night after school to going down in Anderson's basement. He was about 2 years ahead of us, and he already was a licensed ham, which made him like God. And we would go down in the basement, and he had about 20 watts on 40 meters, see? And he had a four-tube super heptadyne receiver that he had built. And we used to just, me and Schwartz and Bolas were just in seventh heaven now. And he had test equipment he had built. Well, then we took every Saturday, Nick, going into Chicago. Now, any guy, any kid, any ex-kid who's ever been involved in this thing know what it's like to go down to Van Cortlandt Street, see? Well, every Saturday, we would go to the south side of Chicago on South State Street. They had Radio Row. Radio Row. Do any of you know what Radio Row is? In every city, you guys, you should learn about this. In every city that's over 10,000, I would say, there is a place known to all this little secret band of electronic cuckoos called Radio Row in that town. It maybe is two or three little stores, see? But in Chicago, there were about 15 All kinds of, well, radio junk shops. There were good ones, bad ones, and in between. And we would go down there every Saturday with our money, see, and look at all these fantastic radio parts. And we would be consumed. I mean, I would have done anything. If Shylock had come out of this, you know, the radio and electronics and surplus place, he had come out and he says, hey, kid, how would you like to have a 40-watt push-pull Class B modulator? And what would you like to sell your mother to the glue factory, kid? Listen, my old lady would have been made into LePage's glue instantly. You just can't get out of it. And one Saturday, we were going in and out of this same radio shop for probably a year. And this guy was a fascinating old cat. He was like a gnome. He sat in the middle of this fantastic pile of radio parts. He had millions. It was not a store, really. It was like a big junk shop, piled all the way to the ceiling, see. And he's sitting in the middle of all this stuff, this little gnome. And thick glasses, and he knew every conceivable part that he had. There were millions of them. And one day, we walked in there, each of us with about 45 cents to our name. And he says, hey, you guys, I want to really show you something. He says, you guys willing to gamble? And I said, yeah. Come with me. He took us down to the basement. In the basement of his shop. It's like, you know, some guy who's a real drunk being taken down to the basement of his favorite beer joint. See, he never gets to see it. Down in the basement, he had incredible storehouse. It was like being in Mammoth Cave. It was like hitting the jackpot. There was stuff piled up all over. Fantastic parts. He says, I'm going to sell you guys a whole barrel of radio parts. You guys got $2 between you? We did. And that afternoon, me and Johnny Anderson and Bolas carried home a barrel, a big barrel. It was about 5 feet tall. We could hardly carry it. We struggled for miles with a barrel of radio parts. And for months, we sat with this pile of stuff, old pieces of busted resistor, 27 million unmarked condensers, 87 trillion sockets. We sat in his basement with a light over, cackling, counting them in piles, running resistors for our hair. And so that is tonight's salute to Abner's stooge and Greed. You listen tomorrow at 5 minutes past 10. You hear me? You listen.